Laser was working fine and pinging the tanker plane with low-power invisible infrared pulses. Harry grabbed the headset hooked to the console's side and slapped it onto his head. Thumbing the intercom button on the console, he called, "Hartoonian to the communications officer." "Calm here," said O'Banion's voice in the earphone. "I'm piping our ranging laser's data to you. Please confirm against your radar." "Will do, Mr. Hartoonian." Monk looked up at Harry, his lopsided grin almost a smirk. "I told you I'd get it working, no sweat." Harry nodded absently. It was one thing to put the little laser together and make it work. It was another to make it work right. Using the tanker plane as a target was a good test, although the plane was practically in their laps, and the real test would come when they had to get the range on a missile boosting from 100 or more miles away. But if their laser results matched the plane's regular radar... "Mr. Hartoonian," said O'Banion. "Yeah?" "I'm sending our numbers down to you. They look good to me, sir." "Okay, okay." Harry felt his hands trembling slightly as the radar numbers began to appear on Monk's screen, alongside the numbers from their ranging laser.
"On the button!" Monk crowed. "Look at that!"
Harry saw that the numbers differed only on the fourth decimal place. Good enough, he thought. Good enough. "You're right, Monk," he said, forcing a smile. "We're in business."
"Better tell that fly girl skipper, pal."
"I will," Harry said, straightening up, "after I check with Taki." Monk's grin shrunk as Harry left him and ducked through the hatch to the battle management station, where Nakamura sat peering intently at one of the four consoles. Sliding into the chair beside her, Harry said, "Monk got the Ranger working."
"I can see that," Taki said, tapping a lacquered fingernail against the console's main screen.
"Is it good enough for you?" he asked. Nakamura nodded, but Harry saw that her lips were pressed together tightly. "Problem?" She looked away from him for a moment, then turned back to the console and its array of screens.
"Harry, I can't do this. Not all by myself."
"I know." As if she hadn't heard him, she went on.
"I mean, it's one thing to run a test, just fire the coil at a spot in the empty air. But now we're going to try to hit real missiles? Come on, there's supposed to be four people at these consoles. I'm only one person. I can't do everything."
"I'll be beside you, Taki. I'll be right here with you. We'll do it together." Nakamura focused her dark eyes on Harry. He saw doubt in them, and he understood what was going on in her head. It all depends on her, Harry thought. Wally and Angel can fire the coil. Monk can make the ranging laser work. But it's Taki's responsibility to run the sensors that acquire the infrared signature of the rocket exhaust plume, point the coil at the target, and get off enough shots to take out the missile before its engines cut off and we lose the infrared signal from the plume. "Taki," he said softly, "what it takes four blue suiters to do, the two of us can do."
"You think so?"
"Sure. You'll get an Annie Oakley medal for sharpshooting." Her brows knit.
"Annie Oakley? Who's she?"
The tension broke and Harry laughed. "I'll tell you all about her after this is all over." As he got to his feet, Monk came through the hatch and passed through the compartment. "Kidney break," Delaney said. The lens assembly, Harry thought. He's going to wipe down the lens assembly. He watched Delaney duck through the hatch, wondering what he should do. "I've got to talk to the pilot," he said to Nakamura, and followed Delaney out of the compartment.